In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A boy was promised a watch if he could make it to school and church on time for a given length of time. Well, upon completing the challenge, he asked for his watch. Well, money was a little tight, so his parents told him that he would have to wait a little while until he got the watch. Well, every day he asked about that watch until one day, finally, his father said, "You know, if you ask me one more time about that watch, you're not going to get it." Well, he was disappointed, of course. And the family had a practice of saying a scripture verse before every grace that they said at the evening meal. And they took turns at this. And when it came to the boy's turn, he recited Mark 13, verse 37. "And what I say unto you, I say to all, watch." That was a determined young man. Well, that's the message of today's gospel on this first Sunday of Advent. Watch at all times, or be alert at all times, our Lord tells his disciples. One of the major doctrines of the church from the very beginning has been that our Lord Jesus, who ascended into heaven, will return to judge the living and the dead. We say it every time we say the Apostles' and Nicene Creeds. In our Rite II liturgy, that at this time of year, we have a portion in the Eucharistic prayer in which we say all together, "We await his coming in glory." We await. That has a present, joyful expectancy to it. When I was at a dinner party one evening, I asked the people around the table, because I knew they were all Christians, I asked them, "What do you think about the second coming? Do you ever think about that?" And one person said, "Well, yes, don't you think the signs are all there that we're very near the end of time and the second coming of Christ?" Another person said, "You know, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. And then everything else in between were the ideas around the table. And so what do you think about the second coming? If you had been to a dinner party in the first couple of decades, or maybe first three decades of the church's life, the answer to that question would have been all the same around the table. We expect Jesus to come any moment. He could come today, he could come tomorrow, but we certainly expect that he will come within our lifetime. In fact, in today's gospel, Jesus actually seems to be saying that very thing. "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all has taken place." That was the belief and understanding of the very earliest church. One of the biggest concerns in the church at Thessalonica, and we heard from 1 Corinthians this morning in our epistle, and 1 Thessalonians is probably the earliest epistle in the New Testament. And there was a concern among the Thessalonians about those who had died. Some had died already before Jesus came back, and their fear was that those people might not be taken up with Jesus when he came again. And St. Paul deals with that concern in 1 Thessalonians. You might take it out and read it today. It only takes a very short time to read it. And this is what he said to them. "For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." So you see, even from that word to the Thessalonians, St. Paul thought that this would happen within his lifetime, at this point in his career. Eventually, it began to dawn on the church that it wasn't likely that Jesus would return as soon as everyone had expected. But can you imagine what it must have been like in those first few decades when everyone was sure that Jesus was coming any moment, as quickly as possible? There must have been a sense of urgency that the gospel must be proclaimed to as many people as soon as possible. Christians would have been more concerned about leading morally upright lives, and when they did sin, which people have a tendency to do, there would have been more of an urgency to repent. The poor, because they were of special value to Jesus, would surely have been cared for. We normally think of the season of Advent as a preparation for the celebration of Christmas. It is indeed that. But that's only half of the picture. Advent is a time when we prepare for the coming of the Lord at the end of time, when he shall come to judge the living and the dead. The church has always believed that the best way to prepare to celebrate Christmas is by preparing to receive Christ when he comes again. I have something to tell you. We are in the generation, you and I are in the generation when Jesus will come again. But that generation is now 2,000 years old. And it may last another day, or it may last another 1,000 or another 10,000 years. But what we Christians believe and hope, one of the things that distinguishes Christianity, is that history will have an end, and that end will be ushered in by the return of Christ. The theologian Karl Rahner said, "Within ourselves, we ought to feel something living. The calm and modest joy of faithful hope, which does not think that the graspable, visible present is all that there is. That quiet joy is what a prisoner feels when he is still in his cell, but is about to stand up, for he knows that the lock hangs loose at his cell door, and that his freedom is certain." Let this Advent truly be a time of preparation for the coming of Christ. Regain a sense of urgency about your faith. Pray more often. Read your Bibles daily. Find ways to share your faith with others. Remember the poor. Think about those relationships that are broken in your life and do what is in your power to mend them. Make this Advent more than just a pre-extension of Christmas, but a time of repentance and preparation. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.